Now it's time for Inspirational Women and my guest, Sandy Gold, a marvelous New England artist and the author of a special book, a memoir, I Chose Love, How to Thrive After a Life-Threatening Illness Using Love to Guide You. Sandy is here to share some of her story, her awareness with us. Sandy Gold, good morning. Thank you so greatly for being with us today.
Good morning to you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I am really thrilled that we have this opportunity to have a conversation. And we're going to be talking about this incredible new book, your book, I Chose Love, How to Thrive After a Life-Threatening Illness Using Love to Guide You. And I think it's important, since we're on a Zoom call today, it's important to note that this is something that happened, nearly four decades ago. Really a life-threatening disease. And yet here you are looking radiant today. So obviously things were not what they were called at the time, or they were, but there was a way that you found, and that's the book, I Chose Love. You found the pathway through that diagnosis.
Yes, yes. And I think the fact that five neurosurgeons told me the exact same thing, I had 6 months to a year to live, that I recognize this responsibility is on my shoulders. Now, I knew I had to do something. When things are really bad, I think that's when we really just focus in on our hearts and we just follow them. That's all we can do. You know, like when we have our challenges, we really freak out, you know, our little day-to-day challenges. But I couldn't afford to freak out. I really had to focus.
And it's amazing to me how, with this really heavy diagnosis, a brain tumor, you were able to focus and navigate a really challenging romantic relationship at the same time. It was just mind-boggling to me, all that was going on, and yet you were just so solid through it all.
Again, I think because I found my direction, I knew what I needed to do, and there was just, I never wavered from that. Never wavered from that. A few weeks after I was diagnosed, I was looking at the art that I painted most recently. I'm an artist. And one was of a fish upside down, hanging upside down by a rope. One was of dead carnations. One was a woman holding onto a grave. And the other was a portrait I've done of my grandmother who died before I was even born of a brain tumor. And I have never been more frightened in my life when I realized the theme running through all of them was death. Scared me skinny. You know, like the, is it Wile E. Coyote that when he runs off the cane, all of a sudden he goes, whoop, whoop. Well, I had to do that with my brain or I was going to trip out. And that's when I realized, wait a minute, there's some higher power of sorts, some God, some kind of energy, some overseeing this. Now, something far greater than me that is obviously trying to connect with me through my art, through my language. And I just wanted to connect to God's ankles at that moment and hold on tight. And the only way I knew how to do that was through love.
And it's incredible, just taking that experience, how it speaks volumes about our subconscious, how it's communicating with us if we're paying attention to it. Well, it's communicating. We just need to pay attention.
That's the key. That's the challenge every day, to stay present. You notice that whenever we're upset, it's always about something in the future and the past. It's so important that we just stay present because we're fine right now.
Yes.
And I also kept saying that to myself regarding my diagnosis. I went, wait a minute, I'm the same person I was before I spoke to those doctors. I'm in the same position. Nothing has changed. Doctors have simply told me something. I don't need to go and focus on that. I want to focus on something that would help me. And what better thing to focus on than love?
Well, what's really, though, disconcerting about the fact that you had these five neurologist telling you this fact that you have this serious brain tumor, that it's inoperable, that you have 6 to 12 months to live, and then you're like ostracized, that they can't deal with the idea of death. They only want to work on fixing things, but they weren't even giving you options for that.
It was amazing. I wanted to be left alone. I really just want, right from the very beginning, I just wanted to be left alone because people were thinking in ways that were not healthy for me. People were acting in ways that were not healthy for me.
Right.
Although at the same time, I really yearned to connect with others. You know, I shouldn't just say I just wanted to be left alone. However.
Well, but wouldn't you say that the connection would be with someone or someones who would have that kind of similar harmony with you that would not be, well, just turning their backs on you, basically, or giving you a negative diagnosis and then nothing? I mean, it was just so astounding.
People who saw the bigger picture is what I was looking for. People who tried to understand where I was coming from and were willing to support that as opposed to imposing their fears or their beliefs on me or trying to get me to do something that just did not feel right to me.
Right.
Yes.
And during that time, and we're talking about over, nearly 40 years ago, so this was 1986, I believe, that you got...
Yes, it was right? December 1986. However, 7 years after that, I got radiation damage, and that lasted up until just, only maybe 5 or 8 years ago. I was very sick, still fighting the radiation damage. Different symptoms just kept coming up and coming up and coming up. Until finally, knock on wood, they've stopped.
And so that is an important aspect of this, too, that even with your awareness of what you needed to do, the title, I Chose Love, keeping that central, doesn't preclude then going through still all those years of illness and the attack on your body.
Well, I chose love to overcome that too. You know, yeah. That's how I navigated through my medical problems, as well as the medical world, as well as my family.
Well,
you know, love was the answer. I mean, there was just no other way.
And as encouragement for any of us, how to just stay with that, because you were unwavering. You knew that. What provides that really strong belief? Because I can sense that with some people, because I'm in harmony with you, not that I don't know, I haven't had to face a brain tumor, so I don't know how that would be, but I really, really embrace this approach. But for someone who maybe this sounds somewhat foreign to, how to stay really committed?
Love was my tether to life. I mean, that was it. Like I said, it was so bad that I had to find something, and I was going to hold on tight. There was no way I was letting go, because letting go meant death to me.
Yes.
So that's how I looked at it. And that, as you, well, I don't know whether how much of my book you read, but that really upset a lot of people that I was so stubborn. Even though I was proving myself right. I mean, I was alive and I was overcoming one. But people, my diagnosis made a lot of people uncomfortable, and that's perfectly natural. You know, we mm-hmm. all get uncomfortable under those circumstances. And when people are uncomfortable, they don't tend to listen. They don't tend to open their hearts. They don't tend to want to know something that they don't already know. You know, they hold on tight to their beliefs for their protection. That's just a natural way of acting. I finally figured out, you know, why people were responding the way that they were, because they were fearful and they felt a need to protect themselves.
Yes, you're the one with a serious diagnosis. maybe it comes down to, you know, we're in this on our own. We have each, there are others. We can say we have others supporting us, but really when it comes down to it, we do have to trust our own intuition, our own heart.
Absolutely. Be true to yourself and be as authentic as you possibly can be. Yes, you nailed it right there. Every single word I speak, I strive for it to be as authentic as I possibly can be. And I also figured out that we were given all of our emotions for a reason. And it's okay to get angry. In fact, we're meant to get angry. That's why we were given. We're meant to feel frustration. Where for a long time, I went around like Pollyanna until I realized I'm not being authentic. You know, I'm going around smiling and trying to be positive because I'd read all about, you know, how important it was to be positive. And it is. Mm-hmm. But I think it's even more important to be authentic. And if you're angry, be angry. It doesn't mean you need to lash out at other people, but just feel that anger and just let it pass.
Yes. Yes. Letting it pass is so critical, because otherwise if it's occurred and we don't release it, there in itself, it's a tumor. It's a cancerous cell.
It's doing harm to our body. And that's what I kept focusing on. Every little way I was doing harm to my body. That's why I finally figured out responding to my family, like going, wait a minute, how come you're treating me this way? Or, can we discuss it? Doing that for years, I realized that's not healthy. That's not, they're just getting angrier and angrier because they're becoming more and more fearful. So finally, I just had to stop. But I had to I still do look at ways that I'm doing harm to myself, you know, and find ways that I can feel my body sing, you know, that I can just feel my body so happy, like going down to the beach and just putting your feet in the water, as you see so many people do as soon as they come to the beach. That's why I painted that painting that's on the cover of my book.
Thank you for saying that. I was really curious. Now, why is it this painting? So there we have it.
It doesn't that feel good when we do that? You know, we've been wanting to get to the beach and we finally get there. And without even, we throw our blankets down usually and just run right down to the water and we go, ah. Now that's that feeling I'm talking about, in giving ourselves more and more and more of those feelings on a daily basis.
And you also have your art that is your way of expressing, as you said, you had done all this art and then looking at it, you saw the message. But now with that much more awareness and intuition, you probably are expressing your emotions through the art and being conscious of it. Just like when you did the mural many years ago.
Yes, and thank you for bringing that up. Because one thing I learned through my writing and through my art, having done the mural, the one thing that people say so frequently to me, well, particularly other writers, is you know how to get your readers to feel. And the one thing my students used to always ask me, how do you paint feelings? When people walked in to see the mural, they just felt love. You know, and people were crying in front of it. One person described it as a love letter to God. You know, she just felt that love. I have no idea how I do that. But it's the same thing that's coming through regardless of whether I'm writing or whether I'm painting, which I find curious, which I find very cool.
It is very cool. And maybe if it's even necessary, but since it's curious, maybe one day it'll all kind of reveal itself as to how those two are the same. And it'll probably come back and be simply, it's love.
I think because, yes, love is an energy, the strongest form of energy there is. And I still spend my days focused on that. Every day I post something about love on Facebook. A quote or whatever. I'm forever looking for pictures that show love. You know, love is my thing. I mean, it saved my life. And I think it can't help but come out through my artwork and my writing.
Yes.
It never did before I got the brain tumor.
So you can, well, that's one thing. Looking at the brain tumor then as a gift in that way, as to the awareness that it that through it you came to.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I have thought about that a lot. And I think, you know, of course I have no way of knowing, but I believe that we come here wanting to achieve something. We're forever growing and we have goals to grow. And my thing was I wanted to learn love. And I think I was presented with a hell of a way to learn love, to learn all about love.
Oh, yes, no kidding. Between having this serious brain tumor, which I can't even imagine. Actually, as a kid, I used to watch some of those doctor shows on TVs that focused on tumors.
Dr. Kildare.
Yes. And Dr. Casey, Dr. Ben Casey, particularly.
Yes.
And I totally had this fear that I would someday have a brain tumor.
Oh,
I know it. Fortunately, I moved through that. But here you experience that, and to go through the process again, it's miraculous to have had that approach without surgery to extract. Well, the tumor just went away, but you worked on it so focusedly.
I had to. I was told I had a fast-growing, inoperable, life-threatening brain tumor. I mean, can you be told anything worse? And I think that's why I had to get my act together. You know, there was no wiggle room. There was no negotiating. It was, this is it. The ball's in your court.
So as you mentioned that, once again, it's just astounding, shocking, how the medical staff at the time basically just, it's almost as though you were invisible. No one really provided you with guidance. I hope things are somewhat different these days. I think they are, but maybe it depends on where you're living.
They are changing. 10 years ago, though, I got breast cancer. And I was told I had to have a mastectomy. And I'm like, here we go again. And I said, I declined. And the doctor got on the telephone when I called to cancel my next appointment and told me I was playing with fire and that he could save my life now, but you know, this could take, you know, I could die from this in the future. And I thanked him very politely. And I said, we're just looking at this from two different perspectives. But within 5 months, I was cancer free and they wanted to remove my right breast. So yes and no. You know, there are, and granted that was about 10 years ago. So maybe things have gotten, I'm sure things have gotten even better, but I really had to wrestle with so many doctors. And I think that's another thing why I wrote the book is I wanted to show how to navigate, how not to do, you know, don't do the things I didn't, you know, that I show that were silly and how to do the things I did that were successful. The very first neurologist I went to just days after I was diagnosed accused me, I mean, nastily, not rather rudely, of not telling him all my symptoms. I was paying him $350 an hour and he thought I wasn't telling him all my symptoms. As he said, it was impossible to not have more symptoms when he was looking at my pictures. And he even had the nerve to turn to my then boyfriend and say, is she telling the truth?
Oh.
And I said to the man, if this is the way my body deals with having a brain tumor, this is the way my body deals with having a brain tumor. But it certainly gave me no faith in this man that he wasn't even acknowledging my body if he was going to try to save me. But again, I turned that into a gift because I realized not to go in that direction.
Yes.
And that I needed to do something. And it was shortly after that I decided to use love.
So phenomenal that how you approach this. And again, the fact that there were so many hurdles, but I think often we can ascribe a lot of power to medical professionals, and you were showing how it's really important to really trust ourselves. We know what's true. So I don't follow the list of symptoms somebody else does. This is me and right. The individual.
And that's what I encourage people to do all throughout their book. They deserve to be treated like individuals. I mean, we were all created to be individuals, again, for a reason. We could have all been created to be 5'5", dark hair, dark eyes, you know, liking the same foods, but there's a reason we were created different. And there are some people that recognize that and appreciate that. And then there are those that if you don't fit into their template, they get angry. As my doctor was.
Right. It occurs to me, too, considering the times we live in now where things are really, really in such turmoil. And I'm finding that on the medical scene, you know, we just don't have, it seems, as much availability to these medical professionals. Getting appointments takes, you know, so much longer, that it's important then to come back to this and realize who we are and what we are able to do. Not saying don't get things checked out, but still realize.
I'm so glad you said that, because I am not anti-doctors, and I want to stress that. But I believe we need to work with our doctors. Our doctors need to work with us. And you're absolutely right as far as being accessible, even just to place the phone call. You have to, you know, to reach this, you have to do this. And then to do this, you got to do this. You know, it's just, it is. But again, I look at it as, wait a minute, if they're making it difficult for me to be, you know, to reach them, I need to look within myself for answers.
Right. And that's where sharing experiences, sharing the story as you do, I chose love, really gives us insights. And it's an education into what to think of in terms of ourselves and what is going on.
Absolutely. And that I encourage that all throughout my book. And I even say, don't do what I did. I want you to look into your own heart and decide what is right for you. And if that's conventional medicine, I applaud you. If that's right for you, you know, I've supported friends that have chosen to go through chemo and all the other stuff, because that was what they chose and what they felt most comfortable with. And you're going to have the most success with things that you're most comfortable with.
Because that part of that is then that authenticity, our authentic self, if we're in harmony with what is going on.
And you believe in it.
Yes.
You know, a lot of it is your belief and your faith.
Yes. So here we have this incredible experience of your overcoming two major health situations in your life, but you continue to thrive and do great work, and you've actually, with your art, are really helping others to use that in their own healing. True?
That has been my goal for so long, and I was getting so frustrated because it took me so long to write this book because I kept getting sick. but I was able to put even more information into the book because I kept getting sick. You know, I had to figure out how to overcome that too. But yes, and it's just an honor and a joy to be able to do what I do.
So we should mention the book is quite new, but it's readily available through any and all of our favorite book sources, correct?
Yes, except Amazon, for some reason, has made it very difficult to access. You have to put in I Chose Love by Sandy Gold. Otherwise, it shoots you over to I Choose Love, where you'll never find my book.
Oh, how odd.
I've been encouraging people to go to my website, which is just my name, Sandy with an I, gold.com. And it is available in soft cover, ebook, and audio.
And, of course, go to your local bookstore. brick and mortar, yes. Go to the bookstore, yes. And request it by name. They may not have it. So it gives them an opportunity to order in copies of books so others can take advantage.
Thank you for saying that. That's yes, thank you.
And the other thing about going to your website, which I think is another gift that you offer us, Sandy, is that you have a newsletter that comes out. We can sign up for that and get it by email and really keep up to date with just things that are going on in our world now.
Correct. And people are welcome to ask me questions. Obviously, I can't answer everybody's questions, and I do answer the question that's more universal as opposed to, directed towards one person. But I do encourage people to ask me questions. I love answering questions.
You love to express yourself and just share stories.
Right.
Because, again, it is with stories that I believe we learn so much.
Because we identify with them. We connect with one another because we identify with them. Yes.
Yes. And I feel stories are so powerful because through that identification, we see what's relevant for us. It's not someone dictating, you need to do this. You have to do this. We get what we need.
In a comfortable way. Whereas when somebody starts telling me what I need to do, because if I had done what doctors told me I needed to do, I'd be dead today. I can feel my body clench. And of course, I'm not listening to them 100%. I mean, it's really a horrible thing to do, to tell someone what they need to do. It's not recognizing that they have that inner wisdom within them. The most important thing that people always did to me, the most helpful thing, was to tell me, Sandy, you got this. You know what to do. I could feel my body strengthen from that. And yeah. And everything yelling, yay, yay, yay. Yes, I do.
And in fact, one of the people, I believe, from reading in the early part of your book, Dr. Bernie Siegel, was one of those people said, Sandy, you know what you need.
Yes. Yeah. What amazing man. Amazing man. After I did the mural, I got all this attention on me. 2020 covered me. New York Times, People Magazine, it went on and on. My brother, who was living in Africa at the time, read about me and the American Embassy. And I wanted to use some of that attention I wanted to give some of that attention to him. So I brought him to speak here in Westerly, where I live. Wonderful man.
So it's wonderful because it brings him to light again. He's been very important, I think, in our awareness, our health awareness, and the whole area of wellness. So it's great to read about him again.
In 1986, he published the book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles. And he, in that book, said that love heals. And he also used to talk to his patients while he was operating on them. If somebody's heart stopped while he was operating on them, he'd say, Charlie, get your heart to start again. And the heart would start again. And his peers made fun of him. He was a pediatric surgeon at Yale New Haven Hospital, not far from where I live. And so he took a lot of grief, but that was 1986. So yes, you're right. He's been a pioneer.
Yes, he has. And right alongside, you're your own kind of pioneer, doing the work that you do and in Sandy Gold fashion, that, encouraging us that we each have that within us. We're all special, not one more special than the other. We all have these gifts that we need to pay attention to.
And we're most powerful when we do them in our own fashion, just as exactly as you said. And yet people are forever, trying to cover up or try to emulate other people. Nuh-uh. Yeah. We are strongest when we are just being the person we are created to be.
So simple, and yet can be so challenging, but it's important to keep reiterating that. And we learn this, and I think it gets underscored if we pick up a copy of this lovely book, I Chose Love. And Sandy Gold, I'm just so grateful that you were inspired, that, you felt drawn, that you needed to do this, and that you have accomplished this.
Oh, thank you so much. And it's been a delight talking with you.
And with you as well. Continue to do your marvelous work and continue to be well.
Thank you so much. You take care.
That brings us to the end of a very full hour of Inspirational Women with Sandy Gold and Sunday Morning Magazine with Dr. Linnea Axman. I'm Kate Daniels, your host, and I greatly appreciate your sharing this hour with me and these special guests. For details you might have missed or information you'd like to know, please just send me an email, kated at warm1069.com, and I will get right back to you. Also, if you'd like to listen again or share these important stories with your family and friends, find the podcast on our Warm 1069 webpage. Just click on the Listen tab, then Podcasts, then either of the show names, and then look for the guest names. I now wish you and your family a day of great health and also considering a career in nursing. Have a week of the same, and then please plan to join me again next weekend for another hour of Sunday Morning Magazine and Inspirational Women on Warm 1069. Good morning.